What we often fail to realize is that at the cross, our depravity and uncleanness was removed from us forever, and we are given a new nature and a new clothing that allows us to draw near to Him in the same way a child would sit in the lap of the most adoring Father. All that ever separated us from enjoying His company has been removed, and if we fail to enter into an intimate relationship with Him, it is not because we are unworthy of His companionship. It is because we see ourselves as being unworthy and, out of fear, refuse to draw near to Him, preferring to cling to views of ourselves and Him that are misguided theological constructs that bear no resemblance to how things actually are. Like anyone else having a relationship problem, it's easier for us to think it is the other party who is holding things back instead of admitting that we are the one who refuses to move the relationship forward. My wife has been struggling with the burden of deciding what steps to take next in her career. She is trained as a painter, and her heart's desire is to paint the pictures that flow from her imagination. But the stereotype she learned in art school about starving artists always prevented her from believing she could make a living as a painter. So for at least 15 years, she has worked as a graphic designer because it pays the bills. The work doesn't inspire her, and it often leaves her with neck pain and a headache at the end of the day. But she's been afraid of making the changes that would allow her to become a full-time painter. The real struggle is that she wasn't certain what God wanted her to do. She felt if she made the wrong choice, she might disappoint God, never sell any paintings, and leave us in a difficult place financially. One night, she had a dream where Jesus paid her a visit. In the dream, He came to her rather excitedly and handed her a piece of paper. The paper was blank except for the letterhead at the top that appeared in a beautiful pink font, which read, "Super Praying Medic's Wife." After handing her the blank piece of paper, He looked excitedly into her eyes and asked, "What are you going to be?" This dream profoundly changed the way in which my wife saw her relationship with Jesus. Rather than thinking she had to somehow know what He wanted her to do and suffer the consequences if she was wrong, she realized that He was actually her biggest fan, and that regardless of which choice she made, He supported her decision and was excited to see how it would turn out. The dream destroyed a lot of bad theology she had picked up on her journey through life, and replaced it with a more accurate portrait of God, one based on a personal encounter she had with Him. As you listen to the stories about personal encounters my wife and I have had, consider the fact that God wants to have the same type of encounters with all of us, even you. If you're afraid to approach God because you feel unworthy to be in His presence, try seeing yourself the way He sees you and not how others have seen you. If you have discomfort at the thought of drawing near to your heavenly Father because your earthly father made you feel uncomfortable, please understand that God the Father is nothing like any earthly father you've ever met. You are the apple of His eye, and like the prodigal's father, He is waiting to lavish you with His love and affection. But you must make the first move. It is we who place most of the limits on our experiences with God. As you draw near to Him, you will find that He really will draw near to you. Why do we need another book on seeing in the Spirit? Seeing in the Spirit is an enigma to most people. For those who regularly see angels, demons, and other spirit beings, seeing in the Spirit is as natural as breathing. But for most people, just trying to define what we mean by the phrase seeing in the Spirit is problematic. For the sake of clarity, in this audiobook, I will be referring to a set of experiences collectively as seeing in the Spirit. Those experiences include things like dreams and the appearance of angels, demons, and other spirit beings. I would also include in the definition such things as trances and visions. Anything that we see with our natural eyes or our spiritual ones that does not have its reality based in the physical world would be considered seeing in the Spirit. We may also be shown things that exist in the physical world, such as distant planets that are impossible to see without the naked eye. When something is made plainly visible to us that would otherwise be impossible to see, it would be considered seeing in the Spirit, since our ability to perceive it requires supernatural vision. Although several decent books have been written on the subject of seeing in the Spirit in recent years, and I consider a few of the authors to be friends of mine, I disagree.